Well, hello, Summit View Church. I hope that you are doing very well. Thank you for joining me here in my studio sanctuary here in my greenhouse once again. Good to be with you. We're going to study God's Word together. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 22 and once again today in Hebrews chapter 11. I hope that you're holding up well through the virus and dealing with the virus. And I hope that you're hanging in there and that God is blessing you in unexpected ways and that you are able to get, you know, all the things that you need. You know, if you have an unusual need because of the virus, please let the church know if it's something that we might be able to help with. Maybe we can. We'll take a look and see if we can. Maybe we can. We want to be able to help each other when each person is in need. And I hope that that you are continuing to grow in Christ. I'm looking forward to us being back together and being able to share how we have dealt with our isolation from each other, how we've dealt with just learning to study and to pray and to grow even when we're apart from each other. And I hope these lessons have been helpful to you for that. May God bless you richly until we can be back together again. Our text today, the Jews call it the Akedah, which in Hebrew means the binding. This is the story of the binding of Isaac. Why was Abraham willing to bind his son, the son God had given him, the son he loved, the son through whom God had promised to bless the world? Why was he willing to do this? The story is in Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. The Akedah, the binding. Abraham, at God's instruction, bound his son, laid him on the altar, took up the knife. This story, in some ways, completes the story of the journey of Abraham's faith from his homeland to the promised land. In chapter 12, where Abraham's story, the story of his calling from God, begins, God told Abraham to go from his homeland to a place God would show him. Now God tells him to go from his home to a place God will show him. In chapter 12, God told Abraham to give up his father's household, his family, to give up his past. Now God tells him to give up his son, whom he loves, to give up his future. In both instances, Abraham puts his faith in God and obeys. This time, God sends Abraham to the region of Moriah, to a certain mountain that God will show him there. And there, Abraham will begin to offer his son as a sacrifice. Moriah appears only one other time in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, the mountain on which Israel's King Solomon built the original temple of God, in Jerusalem, on a mountain that we more commonly know of as Zion. There, Israel would offer its sacrifices to God for centuries, just as Abraham had once offered a sacrifice to God there. Just outside Jerusalem, still in the region of Moriah, Jesus would die one day centuries later. And in dying there, he would offer the ultimate sacrifice to bring us to God. Verse 5 tells us that Abraham sees the place, and he and Isaac leave the two servants behind. Abraham tells them, "The boy and I will worship, and then we will come back to you. We will come back to you." I wonder, was Abraham trying to hide the truth from his son? Or did Abraham suspect that maybe, just maybe, In verse 8, on the way to the place where they'll offer the sacrifice, Isaac asks his father where the lamb for the burnt offering is. Abraham doesn't say much. I imagine him pausing for a little while before he replies, thinking about how do I answer this question. The scripture doesn't give us any indication of how Abraham's feeling at this moment, but he just says, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." In those words, I can't help but feel Abraham's pain. This is an agonizing moment for him. This is an agonizing story. For 3 days, Abraham has been traveling from his home to this site, knowing, dreading what God has asked him to do here. The people's who lived in Canaan all around Abraham fairly often practiced child sacrifice. Abraham surely is aware of that, and surely has known of people who sacrificed a child to their gods. It was the most horrific form of idol worship. This was a big part of why God ripped the land away from the Canaanites and gave it to Israel 400 years after Abraham. People in that culture believed that if you sacrificed your son, especially your firstborn, to the god, that you were giving that god your most precious gift possible. And with such a gift, you could get an angry God to forgive you. You could gain assurance that the God would bless you and your family with good crops or with security or with whatever it was you needed. So Abraham would have known of people who sacrificed their children. God will say, 1,500 years after Abraham's time, in Jeremiah 7, that he will destroy Jerusalem because the Israelites have started doing this. They've been sacrificing their children just outside Jerusalem, something that God never commanded or even thought of. But of course, that's not until a long time after Abraham's time. We know from verse 1 that there's a purpose behind this command, this strange and terrible command to sacrifice Isaac. God is testing Abraham. But of course, Abraham doesn't know this yet. This is an agonizing story, the Akedah. Faith often agonizes, not knowing what the future holds, wanting to obey God, knowing only that God has been trustworthy in the past, trusting that he will be trustworthy again. But then, up there on the mountain, agony becomes joy, overwhelming joy, when God stops Abraham. His angel calls out, "Abraham, Abraham, it's only a test." Abraham has passed the test, and God does provide. He provides a ram for the sacrifice, and Isaac is set free. If you've ever loved a child more than you loved yourself, you can feel Abraham's relief here. He surely would rather have died himself than have had to sacrifice the son he loved. And so Abraham calls this place, "The Lord will provide." God provided a ram for the sacrifice. Later, God would provide his blessing as the Israelites offered their sacrifices there on his holy mountain. Still later, God would provide the ultimate sacrifice when he went further than he allowed Abraham to go, when God himself offered his own son. Well, we've been working through Hebrews chapter 11 and its list of heroes who have gone before us, heroes of faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah last week, now Abraham again. The writer of Hebrews now says this about Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." The writer reminds us of the amazing faith of Abraham. When God tested him, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Isaac, his one and only son, the one through whom God had earlier promised to bless Abraham and Sarah with descendants. It wouldn't be through Ishmael, the son of Abraham's concubine Hagar. It would be through Isaac, the son of Abraham and his wife Sarah. And through him, God had promised to bless the world. On the basis of faith, Abraham was willing to give up what appeared to be the only guarantee of and the only mechanism for the fulfillment of God's promises. But how could Abraham do this? How could Abraham ever sacrifice the son he loved? He even went so far as to bind his son, to lay him on the altar, and to take up the knife. The writer of Hebrews says, "Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead." And Genesis doesn't explain Abraham's thinking about this. It only shows him acting in faith, acting in obedience to God. But there is a hint of this idea that maybe Abraham figured that God could raise the dead. There's just a hint of this in Genesis. It's in that line where Abraham told the servants, "We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham said, "We will come back." Either Abraham was lying to them to hide from them and from Isaac what he was about to do, which doesn't seem likely given that his character is typically excellent. He does make some mistakes in the stories we have about him, but typically he does very well. either he was lying to them or he had a hunch that God was going to somehow give his son back to him. And he had a couple of reasons why he might think that God could and would do this. You know, it's not fair to ask a person today, could you sacrifice your child like Abraham did? Do you have the faith of Abraham? That's not fair. Abraham had a couple of advantages that we don't have. One, God had given him an impossible son, born to a man who, Hebrews 11 verse 12 says, was as good as dead. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Born to a woman whose womb had been dead a long time. Sarah was 90 years old when her son was born. Abraham had seen God bring life out of death, in a way. And God, secondly, had promised to bless him through Isaac, specifically. Abraham had always found God to be faithful, most of all in giving him this very son, in an unbelievable way, miraculously born in fulfillment of God's promise. And so Abraham's left with this tension. God is faithful, and yet he wants me to give him the son through whom he said he would bless me and bless the world. How can this be? How do you reconcile this tension? Well, the only way that God could command Abraham to sacrifice his son and yet still fulfill his promise to give Abraham descendants through Isaac would be to bring Isaac back from the dead. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Why? Because he believed that God could even raise the dead. You know, if you believe that God can raise the dead, then you already have faith to pass any test that God or this life could bring, might bring your way. There are unspoken links to Jesus here in this passage in Hebrews. Jesus is God's one and only son, just as Isaac was Abraham's one and only son, his only son by Sarah. Both Jesus and Isaac were offered to God as a sacrifice. Both Jesus and Isaac were the key to God's promises at that time. Isaac was the key to God's promise to give Abraham and Sarah descendants through whom God would bless the world. Jesus was the descendant born from the line of Israel, descended through Isaac, through whom God does bless the world, fulfilling that promise from long before Jesus' time. The writer of Hebrews is talking about Abraham and Isaac in these verses, but Jesus stands just outside the frame of his message. Just, you can almost see him there, but he doesn't mention him specifically. We can hardly think of the Akedah, the binding, without thinking of Jesus, too. Jesus, like Abraham, believed God could raise the dead and acted on that faith. Just as Abraham offered Isaac on the altar because he believed God could raise the dead, so Jesus went to the cross because he believed God could and would raise the dead. Jesus, like Abraham, gave everything he had to God. Abraham gave God his son. Jesus, who had no son, gave God himself, his body and his blood. God did raise Jesus from the dead, just as he had, in a symbolic sense, given Abraham Isaac back from the dead. God tested the faith of both Jesus and Abraham, and he also provided for both. He provided a ram for Abraham, and he provided strength and then resurrection for Jesus. Abraham was right. God did provide for the sacrifice. And Jesus was right too. God did raise him from the dead. God tests and he also provides. He tests and he also provides. When we pass the test, he provides all that we need. A ram for the sacrifice, breath of life breathed into the body that he raises anew. God tests, but he also provides. Our God is faithful. He prepares us for the test, he helps us through the test, and he provides for us after the test. So, if you follow Jesus, then this question for you. Do you believe that God raises the dead? Do you believe that? This question is fundamental to the Christian faith. If you don't believe that God can raise the dead, then you can't be a Christian because you can't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But if you believe God can raise the dead, then you already have sufficient faith to pass any test that God or this life might bring to you. If you believe God raises the dead, you can, for example, fully devote yourself to serving Him without obsessing over the things that belong only to this life. Like we don't fret over whether we'll make a certain amount of money before we die. You know, that just we can't take the money with us, so it doesn't last into the age to come, eternal life. And we don't fret about whether we're going to get to see the Grand Canyon before we die. We might like to do it. We might set it as a goal. But if we don't get there, it's okay. We have all eternity to do everything. Everything. We can focus then, for now, on doing the will of God, whatever He asks. Because all eternity lies before us. If you believe God raises the dead, then you can also serve God no matter what it might cost. This is why Christian martyrs today and in ages past have been willing to give up their lives, because they recognize that in the long run, they're not really losing anything. God raises the dead. If you believe God raises the dead, you can always look to the future in hope, knowing that no matter how hard things get, in a pandemic or a tragic loss or intense struggles, whatever it might be, that God will still be faithful. And so we never panic. God is faithful. He'll be there, whatever happens. And we never get obsessed with worry, because we know that our future always works out for good in the end. It might not be until after this life is done, but it will work out for good in the end, because God raises the dead. And I'm not saying we never struggle with worry. I'm not saying we're never afraid of anything. I'm just saying that fear and worry never win. Our faith wins, because whatever else might happen, God raises the dead. If you believe God can raise the dead, then like Abraham, you already have sufficient faith to pass any test that God or this life might bring you. So serve God boldly, my friends, and do not be afraid. Put your faith in the power of God and walk with Him courageously. The story of the Akedah, the binding, presents Abraham to us as a witness to the power and the faithfulness of our God. Our God raises the dead. Jesus, most of all, is our witness to the reality of resurrection and to the faithfulness of God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." God raised Jesus from the dead. Today He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you believe that God raises the dead? If you do, then you have the faith to pass any test that God might allow to be brought your way. So do not grow weary and lose heart, but run our race with perseverance, just like Abraham did, just like Jesus our Lord did. Put your faith in the Lord. Go where He sends you. Do what He calls you to do, so that you can share in the great resurrection when Jesus comes again. If you believe God can raise the dead, you have sufficient faith to pass any test that God or this life might bring you. The test may be hard, or it may be very hard. But you'll be able to pass it, because the God who tests always also provides. He will help you. Like Abraham, like Jesus, live by faith. Faith that knows that our God can even raise the dead. May God bless you. Let's pray together. Lord God, we just ask you for this faith, for the understanding that you do raise the dead. And Lord, with that understanding, with that belief, as you cement that belief in our hearts and minds, Lord, call us to do whatever you want us to do, because we will be able to do it. Lead us wherever you want us to go. Lord, build up our faith, strengthen us that we will follow you wholeheartedly, obediently, as Abraham did. Thank you for his faith that inspires us and teaches us today. Thank you most of all for Jesus, the model of perfect faith, who laid down his life knowing that you would raise him from the dead, and you did. And today he is exalted at your right hand. We honor him, we thank you for him, and in his name we lift our prayer to you today. Amen. God be with you this week, my friends. Hope to see you soon.